Welcome to Cafe of Delights, conversations that enlighten and inspire with me, your host, Gail West. We are at the precipice of one of the most exciting evolutions in human history. From science to spirituality, culture, arts, cutting-edge psychotherapies, new economies, and more. We will explore how to create a world where all can thrive. In a series of riveting interviews, you'll have the opportunity to hear from those that are actively working at the edges of local, regional, and global transformation. Join me, your host and author of the book Money Come Dance With Me, Gail West, to be inspired, delighted, and filled with hope for a new reality. Cafe of Delights starts now. And I'm your host, Gail West, and this is live. I'm coming here from Los Gatos, California, and I have my guest, Larry Ackerman. Larry, where are you coming from?
Hi, Gail. I'm coming from Westport, Connecticut.
There you are, coast to coast.
We've got it covered.
Yeah, I love it. So Larry is, I'm so excited to have you, Larry. Larry's a leading authority on organizational and personal identity. He's the founder and president of the Identity Circle, LLC, a consulting and coaching firm in Westport, Connecticut. As a personal coach to executives, as well as consultant to their organization, Larry has served diverse clients, including AARP, that's pretty diverse, Dow Chemical, Fidelity Investments, Lockheed Martin, Maytag, National Geographic, and State Farm Insurance. He's the author of two groundbreaking books on identity. Oh, you have three books right now?
I'm working on number three.
Okay. Identity is Destiny, Leadership, and the Roots of Value Creation, and The Identity Code, Eight Essential Questions for Finding Purpose, Your Purpose, and Life Place in the World. He has been a guest lecturer at Yale School of Management, Chicago's Booth School of Business. That's University of Chicago, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Wharton, Pepperdine, and UCLA Anderson School. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Happy to have you.
Thanks.
So I ask everybody the same questions, and that is, what brings you hope at this time? So many people don't have hope. What brings you hope? And since this is the Cafe of Delights, what is delighting your soul?
Okay, so I appreciate the heads up on those questions yesterday. So I had a few minutes to think about it and not just, yeah, you know, like be spontaneous, totally spontaneous. What brings me hope, there are three things that came to mind. And I really had to think about this. The first is that the generosity of people toward others when they are suffering or they're in trouble. I think people, human beings, have a generosity gene built into them that gets triggered when it's necessary. And I'm thinking specifically now of the situation in Hawaii, in Maui, and how people are just helping as much as they can other people. That dynamic, that human dynamic, that gives me hope. Gives me hope.
Maui's so sad. So sad.
It is.
And what delights your soul at this time?
Well, a couple
or your
of things.
Heart. It doesn't have to be your, or your heart. It doesn't have to be your soul.
Oh, heart. So it's all good. Comes from the same place.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
There are a couple of things which I'd want to mention here. One is, what delights my heart is, believe it or not, the eternal presence of sunrises and sunsets, even when they're obscured by clouds and rain. Just knowing that sunrises and sunsets occur, I find is delightful and sort of reinforcing. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. Another is, and this is very personal, watching my son and daughter-in-law become a wonderful new parents, caring, loving, and above all, patient with what is now a 2-year-old.
You're a grandparent.
That is a truly delightful experience. And the last thing that comes to mind that delights me is the innocence of children. Just walking down the street, seeing these, you know, little babes, 2, 3, 4, the way they look at you, what they do, how they smile, what they say, is profoundly, for me, delightful.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you. Mm. And what is your origin story? I'd heard it and I was really touched by your origin story. And I'd love our audience to hear how you got to be one of the leading experts in
authority.
Ideas. Yeah, leading, right.
Authority. Not being a leading authority.
A. Okay.
On identity. Yeah. So I'm glad you asked that question, because everything stems from this experience, which I'll recount now. It all began when I was 4 years old, and my parents put me in the hospital because I had been born cross-eyed, and they, you know, they wanted to have my eyes fixed, which is understandable. So they explained this to me, but you know, four-year-olds don't have the great intellectual capacity to understand some of this. Mm-hmm. But there I was in the hospital, and I keenly remember being on the gurney and being wheeled through these steel doors that had small portholes in them, through those doors into the operating room. And at that time, when I went through this, parents were not allowed in the operating room. Today they could be, then they could not be. So I'm there all alone at 4 years old, on a gurney in the operating room, and kind of looking around and seeing as they're putting these canvas straps across my chest and my pelvis, obviously to keep me stable. And I'm panicking. I'm beginning to really become utterly frightened.
Wow.
Terrified.
Yeah.
Because I look over my shoulder, I look for my father in particular, he wasn't there. And then I remember a man in a green mask, obviously the surgeon, coming up to my right side, just looking down on me. And the light, the bright light going on over my head. And I was terrified and I panicked. And I thought I was going to die. Literally, I thought I was going to die. And I didn't know what I had done to deserve that. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I asked myself a question. Obviously not out loud, but an inside question, which is, what is so wrong with me that I must be changed from who I am?
Wow. That's really powerful.
And in that moment, I had an incredible sense of literally being alive, a consciousness of about being. Mm-hmm. And then things went black. But ever since that experience in the hospital, matters of identity have been the governing force in my life.
Wow. Well, I can imagine how terrifying that must have been at 4. So many people have a lot of different ideas of identity. What is your definition of identity? And you're talking about that 4-year-old, but there's a journey that you went on to mm-hmm. you where you are today.
Indeed. I think I'm still on it, yeah.
I think we're on until we die, 6 feet under.
Indeed. So I have a very particular definition of identity that is all about the essence of the human being, which is that your identity is that special combination of characteristics that reveals how you create value in the world, that shines a light on what you're capable or contributing as an individual. That one's identity is at the very core of your being. I do not agree that, you know, there's so, as you say, there's so many popular definitions or perceptions of identity these days. There's cultural identity and there's identity politics, and, you know, my identity is my race or my religion or, you know, whatever it is. And I don't agree. I mean, those are fundamentally important aspects of who you are, associations, belongings. But for me, identity is this sacred bedrock at the very core of who you are as an individual. Identity is basically about two things: uniqueness and potential. The potential that is intrinsic in what makes you unique as a human being. That's my definition of identity.
That's beautiful. It's almost like, I'm really touched. It's almost like the connection to the essential self, the essential who you are as a unique human being. And I'm thinking about potential, like within the acorn is the potential of an incredible oak tree.
I totally accept that. I have an image that I use in presentations, which is similar. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful image of a tree with a root system that is four times the size of this beautiful tree. And the metaphor is that, you know, to grow a beautiful tree, you need to have this powerful set of roots, which is your identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I regard it. I think I also tell a kind of a funny story, getting to something you just alluded to, which is that when God made us, he played a trick on us. He gave us our five physical senses, you know, touch and taste and smell and hearing and sight. But he also imbued us with this thing called identity. But the trick was, I'm not going to tell you how to get there, but it's there. You have to find your own path into it. And when you find it, you'll never let it go.
I'm curious, as you talk about that, is some of this influenced by your spiritual background or no?
Well, not really. I mean, I am Jewish, but I don't think that has a significant influence on my perception of identity, my belief in what identity is about. Right. In fact, in the Identity Code, the second book you mentioned,
right?
I actually write about how the three major world religions regard identity: Islam and Christianity and Judaism.
Right.
And they're very, very different. But I just do that as a way to frame, you know, the conversation for readers. It's another perspective, if you will, on the topic. But I mean, there's another, so many ways to express this. The rhetorical question that I ask sometimes is, how can you succeed if you don't know who you are? How can you succeed if you don't know who you are? And here, you know, it's, yes, I suppose you can make a lot of money and quote unquote succeed without really knowing who you are. But if you want to succeed in the fullness of your being, you must know who you are. And equally, who you are not.
I just keep being touched by your conversation and how powerful it is, how engaging it is, and how it's influenced by this idea of the uniqueness of each human being. And you talk about the identity in relationship to being human.
That's absolutely true. I think it is I write that your identity is what I call the soft rock at the center of all things human.
Wow, that's beautiful. So I'm curious about, so you talked about, you know, the early experience.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this identity code, you've got, you know, two books, you're working on a third, like, you know, there's a jump between being four and over here. Can you talk about kind of like the road or the path that, when did you get to this idea of identity and how is,
I like that question because I have yet to be able to figure out a good answer for it. But I'll let me run with it for a second. You know, the expression God works in strange ways, or, you know, the universe has its own logic or whatever. I never, you know, since I was growing up as a teenager and then in college and young adult, I never said to myself, yeah, I've got to get into the identity business. No, I backed my way into it. And I struggled in my 20s. I had a very tough half a decade anyway, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life after graduate school. I did not study identity in either college or grad school. It's not some academic pursuit, as you know. It's a profoundly personal pursuit for me. And one day I got fired from a job when I was 29, maybe 30. Very traumatic because I really liked this company. It was a research company. And it just so happens that in the course of my work with this research company, I took on a small project for what was then a design firm that did logos and naming and what then was regarded as identity. It's very small I.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was done, I got fired. I went to the headhunter whom I knew from this work. And I said, I don't know anything about this field. Is there a field here? She says, oh yeah. 3 months, 4 months later, I had joined one of the finest growing identity consulting firms in the country, maybe in the world. And it was like backing my way into my own career without knowing what was going to happen. It just happened. And I've never looked back.
It's being called to your path and your purpose.
It very much has.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's sometimes it kind of shakes me a little bit because how did this really work? You know,
that's wild. That's so wild. We're going to take a little break in a minute. I'm really stunned. You know, when we recognize that we have this true north, and just that we'll be guided to do what we came to do. And I think what you do is guide people to do what they came to do. Is that right?
That is my job.
That's so cool. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into can we get into this identity mapping, which I think is really fascinating?
Oh, absolutely. Let's do that.
Okay, cool. So this is Gail West. We're taking a little break. You're at the Cafe of Delights. We're live with Larry Ackerman, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Cafe of Delight. Conversations that enlighten and inspire with me, your host, Gail West. Tune into TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific. We are at the precipice of one of the most exciting evolutions in human history. On Cafe of Delights, you will hear from those that are actively working at the edges of local, regional, and global transformation. For more information on hope for a new reality, visit Gail West at SuccessWithSoul.com.
Are you ready to take the first step towards thriving and be all that you are? Hi, I am Tanya Butson, CEO of Organically Meta, a love-based business created to help you make new choices for a better life. With Heal Your Life Coaching, you learn how to love yourself so you can achieve your wildest dreams. Start by visiting organicallymeta.ca.
Tune into the peace we crave, find your freedom in addiction recovery with me, your host, Tanya D., the first Monday of each month at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we take you on a spiritual life recovery coach journey and share unique holistic approaches, I will provide a sympathetic listening ear and solutions while helping those affected by addiction. I get it. Enough is enough. If you're ready for help in creating calm in your recovery life, visit thepeacewecrave.com today.
At the Centerpiece Foundation, Dr. Ellie Zarabian can help you make the most of your time here on Earth. As a third-generation healer with a doctorate degree in psychology, Dr. Ellie helps you resolve conflict that begins within the self and extends out into the world. No matter your spiritual background and cultural heritage, you can learn to heal past traumas and listen to your inner voice. Are you ready to feel empowered to live more peacefully during our time of social unrest? For more information, visit centeronpeace.com. Imagine if you were truly flourishing, how would your financial expansion impact the world? Author of Money Come Dance With Me, Gail West is an internationally known speaker, creative catalyst, and business intuitive at Success with Soul. Work with Gail to create a new relationship with money as your friend. Link the soul of your business to the business of your soul with programs like Sacred Money Mastery, Akashic Records of the Soul, and more. To receive a healing money meditation, go to successwithsoul.com today.
Hello, this is Gail West, and this is the Cafe of Delights, and we're back here in Los Gatos, California, and Westport, Connecticut, with Larry Ackerman. We've been talking about Larry's definition of success, his journey in his work with Identity Code. I'd like to kind of go a little bit more into identity, and I know you have something called identity mapping. Can you share with our audience like what that is? I love the idea of mapping something. I love maps.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So identity mapping was born of the eight questions, which are the subtitle of the Identity Code, the eight essential questions for finding your purpose and place in the world. And identity mapping is the process of going from question to question, answering each question and continuing on. They are not random questions, they are sequential. And I'll take you through the eight questions briefly, and so you and your listeners can get a feel for what's involved. Okay, and by the way, I should say, people say, well, why'd you write this book? I wrote it for three reasons. One, I wanted to give people hope that seemingly cosmic questions like who am I, you know, where am I going, are actually answerable questions. So that was my first reason. My second reason is that I wanted to help people do the work, actually help them. So that's why the exercises in the book are designed to help you answer these questions. And identity mapping has grown out of all of this. And then the third reason I wrote the book is because I wanted to see if I could possibly increase your happiness quotient. So hope, help, and happiness. That was my guiding light. So identity mapping begins with the most obvious question, which is, who am I? And who am I is not, it's not intended for you to literally answer the question in the outset here. Who am I is the question that in identity mapping lingo asks you to stop what you're doing, to take a step back, and to create some space just for you. Mm-hmm. Just for you. Step away from your relationships, in your mind, you know, that's fine. So that you can begin the spade work necessary to actually
crack your identity code. So question one, who am I? There's a method for doing this. Question two is, what makes me special? And again, you say, well, am I going to answer the question right now? And you're not going to totally answer it. You're going to begin to answer it. Again, these are sequential. They build. The second question is one that it's deceptively simple.
But it's really hard. Those things, most people, who am I is like, it's about their roles. Well, I'm a mother and I'm a blah, blah, blah. And it's not about me, you know?
No. That's a great point.
Yeah. Makes me special? People have a really hard time.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, what makes them special, because, you know, we were on the break, I was talking about how, you know, the question, well, who do you think you are? You know, that place that kind of is a put down, like, you're not that special, but everybody is. So, okay, keep going, Larry. This is good.
Okay, so number two. Number three, the third question is there a pattern to my life? And this is a question which, if I'm running a workshop or something, most people, I don't know why this is, I haven't figured this out yet, tend to offer negative answers, like I eat too much, or I've been divorced three times or whatever, or something like that. But that's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at very positive and powerful patterns that exist and have existed in your life since you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the aim of this question, to answer it, there's a method for answering it. I won't go into what that is right now, but it's revealing. It's incredibly revealing. When you connect, it's like connect the dots when you're a kid, you know, connect the dots and suddenly you see a bird that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah, right.
That's the nature of this question.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth question is, where am I going? And this is a kind of rhetorical, you know, because you see people walking down the street or you're walking down the street. And it's not, where am I going geographically? It's, where am I going with my life? You know? And we all ask those questions. I ask that question on occasion, where am I going here? And this is a moment of reflection. This is a moment where you have to stop. You've already learned a lot about yourself through the answers to questions two and three. And maybe you're frustrated, maybe you have a sense of doubt, you're uncertain. But the idea here is to take hold, reinforce what you've learned, embrace what you've learned, and continue to move forward. The fifth question is, what is my gift? And this is the question that is designed to reveal your identity. Your identity, in my language, is your gift to the world. Your identity is your gift to the world. And it's in this step that you clarify and articulate what that gift is.
I've said this a few times, but I'm so touched by the difference with your definition of identity and most other people's. It's like, it's kind of the who do you think you are identity part, as opposed to you're a sacred being, you're unique in all the world.
Yeah.
It feels like that's your definition of identity.
It is. And I believe that to the bottom of my heart, that mm-hmm. we are each literally unique beings. And we have both an opportunity and a responsibility to share that uniqueness with others.
You know, I want you to kind of go on with the questions, but I think if all of us as human beings could really connect into our uniqueness as human beings, and that we have gifts to bring to the world, it would be a very different world. Because when you're connected to that place, there's a compassion that comes for yourself and an honoring. And when we honor ourselves and we honor others.
Oh, it's entirely, that's well said. That's very well said. That's true. And what comes with it as well is a deep sense of self-confidence.
Yeah.
You don't have to, poke at people or criticize. You mean it doesn't mean this does this life, the identity-based life is not a bowl of cherries. Let me be clear here. It's still work, but it's good work.
Mm-hmm.
And it serves you and it serves others in very important ways.
Okay, the next questions?
Question six. So consider this, Gail. We've reached the top of a mountain with the fifth question, what is my gift? We've cracked the code, we've answered the question, but you're not done. Okay, the next three questions, the six, seven, and eight, are designed to begin to help you apply what you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Very literally, apply it, learn from it. So question six is, who can I trust? Who can I trust? And again, a question that is wonderful to talk when I'm in groups and ask the question, what does that question mean to you? And all kinds of answers come forth. But there are a couple of different levels of trust, as you know. One level of trust is, you know, who can I trust to paint my house who will do a great job? That's one level of trust. Another might be, who can I trust to babysit my kids Saturday night so my spouse and I can go out to dinner for a couple hours? That's another level of trust. And then mm-hmm. a third might be, who can I trust to take care of my ailing parents? Which is an even deeper level of trust. But there's another level. There's another level. And that the fourth level for me is, who can I trust will want what I have to give? Who will want what I have to give? And there won't be everybody. And what we're looking for in question six, and the answer to question six, is to build identity-based relationships. And it's hard to find those people. They may be right next to you. They might be 1,000 miles away, might be, you know, friends or family or none of the above. They'll be friends, okay. But the thing about this is, what you're trying to do is create what I call your inner identity circle, which is small. You know, it's not like you don't have 100 people in that circle. You might have 4 or 5 or 6. And you have to be very selective, and you will be just voluntarily. I got to tell you, this stuff has a weird effect on people. When you understand who you are, you look at others differently. It just, yeah. It happens. It just simply happens.
I think you can't help it. Yeah. I'm thinking about when I think about who can I trust, it's to me what I think about is, who can I trust to really see and celebrate me? That's not a common thing.
No, but that's where I'm going. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Who sees and celebrate me, who wants what you've got to give, who wants what it is to. What does it mean to be Gail? What is unique about her? How can I tap into that force and benefit from it? Mm-hmm. Do I want to? These kind of relationships are inviolable.
Yeah.
You know, they are a true port in the storm. So that's six. The seventh question is, what is my message? And, you know, you can crack the code on your identity. And you can go through the exercise of sorting out your, what I call, relationships universe into, you know, people you feel will want your gift. You can do that on your own. But if you want to actually bring this to life, you need to follow question seven, or answer question seven, what is my message? And basically, that question is about declaring yourself on the strength of your gift. In essence, again, not necessarily literally, but standing up and saying, you know, I am Gail West, I am Larry Ackerman, and I am most alive, or I am driven to do one thing. I am here to help people to see that is my identity, and that is my gift, and that is my purpose. And, you know, if I'm standing in front of 100 people in the audience, there might be, I don't know, out of 100, maybe there are 10 or 20, you say, well, that's interesting, but I don't care. And they leave the room. But for everybody who leaves the room, I'll bet you two more people come in. So this is a moment of risk. It's a moment of exposure, a moment of vulnerability, where you stand up and, you know, what do you stand for? Literally, what do you stand for? What can I count on from you? That's the seventh question.
That makes sense. There's 7 billion people on the planet. Our job is not to be with all of them. Our job is to find our true north and find our, what I call our peeps.
That's correct. Yeah.
The people that we're called to serve. We're not going to call to serve the whole world because there's other people that can do that.
Right. And that's the magic of identity-based relationships. You know, there aren't going to be that many. But those that you find will be very powerful. They're like sanctuaries.
A place, I'm when you talk about the idea of sanctuary, it's almost like a place where your soul can rest. And the knowing that you're celebrated and you're seen and you don't have to be anything other than you.
Precisely.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
There's one other question.
And the last question is,
will my life be rich? And again, you know, one of the things I start out by is asking people, what does that mean to you? You know, when you think about a rich life, what comes to mind? You know, and clearly most often money comes up, but many other things by this point are tapped into. It can be recognition. It can be love. It can be a good night's sleep. It can be many things that constitute a truly rich life. Mm-hmm. It can be the ability to give in a way that honors, as you said, others as well as yourself. And the way you answer this question is you surrender. You have to surrender to the pull of your identity. Your identity is like a magnet. At some point, when you have a certain critical mass, it begins to pull at you. It wants you. It wants you to honor it. And as you do that more and more, and you make choices, your life does begin to take on a richness that it otherwise might not have had.
You know, the origin of the word wealth is well-being.
I did not know.
So thinking about that, it's like what you're talking about is well-being.
Yeah.
And that's that in and of itself is a rich life.
Yes, indeed. Yes, mm-hmm. So that's identity mapping.
Wow, beautiful. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I'd love for you to talk about, number one, a little bit more about how people can find you. And number two, living an identity?
Identity-based living?
Identity-based living, yeah. Can we go a little bit more into that? And the work you're doing with kids, you're doing stuff with teenagers and...
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about that. That's fun.
Yeah. I'd love to hear about that because that's our future. We gotta work with them.
Well, that also circles back to my third book. So yeah. We can talk about that.
Okay, cool. So this is Gail West. We are on the Cafe of Delights. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk. I have Larry Ackerman, the author of The Identity Code. And there was the identity mapping. And when we come back, we're going to talk about identity-based living and then the work that you're doing with teens, right? Okay.
Cafe of Delight, conversations that enlighten and inspire with me, your host, Gail West. Tune into TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific. We are at the precipice of one of the most exciting evolutions in human history. On Cafe of Delights, you will hear from those that are actively working at the edges of local, regional, and global transformation. For more information on hope for a new reality, visit Gail West at SuccessWithSoul.com.
Do you ever get the feeling you aren't in the right place? So you decide to change jobs, only to realize that might have not been the right one either? That's where the Purposeful Practice comes in. I offer individual coaching sessions to help you discover and pursue the career or business venture that matches your values, passions, strengths, and motivations. Book a free discovery session by visiting www.thepurposefulpractice.com.
Living a life by design. It's the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose with host Esther Graham. Tune in every second and fourth Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Discover that what is possible is already in you. God designed a phenomenal life for you. At Living a Life by Design, Esther helps you ignite the energy behind your personal journey. For more information, visit fddwomen.com.
Imagine if you were truly flourishing, how would your financial expansion impact the world? Author of Money Come Dance With Me, Gail West is an internationally known speaker, creative catalyst, and business intuitive at Success With Soul. Work with Gail to create a new relationship with money as your friend. Link the soul of your business to the business of your soul with programs like Sacred Money Mastery, Akashic Records of the Soul, and more. To receive a healing money meditation, go to successwithsoul.com today.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion, with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
And we are back. I'm Gail West on the Cafe of Delights. I have Larry Ackerman, the creator of the identity code and really redefining identity. We've been talking about identity, his definition of identity, the identity mapping. And I'd love to go a little bit more into the idea of living an identity-based life. And then the work that you're doing with teens. But before we do that, how do people connect to you? How do they get your books?
Sure. Oh, yeah. If you want to read, there are two books out there. There is The Identity Code and there is Identity is Destiny. Identity Code is just for people just like you and me. And Identity is Destiny is written for basically for leaders of organizations who want to tap into the identity of their companies. So that's that. And my website is simple. It's LarryAckerman.com. You can find me there.
Track me down. Ackerman is A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N, right?
Correct. Larry, A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. That is right.
Okay. So... And this is live, so if you want to call in, it's 1-800-930-2819 if you have a question for Larry. But we're going to go into what is your idea of identity-based life? And, you know, so many young people today have so little hope, and I know you're doing a lot of work with teens. I'd love to hear more about that, Larry.
Sure. Well, the identity-based life is kind of the culmination of living, you know, through identity mapping, which we just talked about. And the thing I wanted to emphasize, I said this quickly, like
you know, 15, 20 minutes ago, identity-based living is not designed to be a bowl of cherries. This isn't like, you know, wahoo, let's party. That's not what this is about. It's about having, above all, a profound sense of integrity about who you are and the nature of the life you lead, meaning that the choices you make, you're making the right choices for the right reasons. And that feels pretty good. I have one client I've been working with who just completed identity mapping. And every time I speak with him, he reminds me of how powerful this was for him, mm-hmm. and how it changed his life, and how he now can get into, literally, this is kind of weird, he can get into disagreements or arguments with friends, a friend or two, and not feel the need to, give in, to simply agree in order to get along. He now has this new sense of himself, which we both look at as home, in quotes, home, your metaphor, the metaphor. And it's always there, and he can always tap into it, and he knows it is true. It is true. So his identity-based life is anchored in his sense of himself. And he can then, it's kind of like being able to withstand, a storm, stormy weather, because you have the keel on your boat is just so solid. Mm-hmm. That's what an identity-based life, is aimed to become. And that can be for anybody. It takes a little bit of time, not forever. But if you have a will to do this, if this speaks to you, then you are absolutely in a position to make this happen. Gail mentioned children, young people. I have a very soft spot for young people. Maybe because honestly, I struggled mightily when I was certainly as a child, as you guys all know from my story, my origin story. I know how difficult it is at times to be a child. But my sense of empathy is huge. I look at children, as Gail alluded to, as our future. We have no future without our children. And if I can help kids begin their journey, their identity journeys in a constructive way, in a way that helps them tap into their natural strengths, as opposed to, making stuff up in order to be liked, then that makes me feel good. My third book, which I'm working on, is just about complete, is Identity for Kids, but it's not nonfiction. It's a fable. It's a story. It's fiction. And it's written specifically, although it'll overlap, for tweens, for kids between the ages of, say, 8 and 12. Because that's such a sensitive age, that transition from being the child to the teenager. And the story, which I'd like to share briefly.
Oh,
the name of the book is Jones of the Old Shoes. Now, that sounds like an identity story, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting name. How'd you come up with that name?
Jones of the Old Shoes comes from the stories that I told my son when he was 4 and 5 years old and going to sleep at night. And I'd get into his room and sit next to his bed, and I'd make up stories about this character named Jones who could visit the old shoes in a closet. And if Jones got stuck with a challenge or a problem, the old shoes would guide him to a sensible answer and a way out. And Max, my son Max, loved these stories.
Oh, that's cool.
And, fast forward now 30 years, he said, "Dad, why don't you write a book about Jones of the Old Shoes?" And so I've used Jones of the Old Shoes as a framework for helping kids understand the whole sequence, believe it or not, of identity mapping through a fable.
Wow. Wow, that's cool.
So if I can get this book out there and I can help young people do this right, mm-hmm. then for me, that will be an important part of my legacy.
So so I saw on your website, you have actually a program to work with teens. Is that right?
Oh yeah. I do.
Yeah. Can you share? Cause you know, I think that teenagers today are so much more sophisticated than I was, because you know, the internet and they understand that we're in this together, and then so many of them are so disturbed about climate change and so many other things that I keep hearing true north, having your true north and your compass based on the right place. So that's really important.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. Yes, I created two, call them programs, tools, processes called the Identity Discovery Deck. They're literally decks of cards. One is for adults and one is for kids, basically teenagers. And the one for teens, it looks at your life through the lens of five relationships that we all have, you know, school and family and friends and yourself and your community. And mm-hmm. there's one other slipping my mind at the moment, but you know, we all have these relationships,
right,
to a lesser or greater degree. And the idea is to, through the lens of these relationships, go in. And it's a game. It's a game.
And oh, it is? Oh, cool. I love it.
No, it's a game. And you pick certain cards, things that you love to do. And then there are certain things that are okay to do. And there are things you just don't care at all about. And you organize these cards. You take the one things that you really love to do. You shift them around and mix them up. Sort them out in a whole new way. And begin to organize them in a way that reveals something important about who you actually are. So this is the Identity Discovery Deck, and it's available on my website under Identity-Based Living.
Yeah, I saw it, and it's, so is this something you play with other people, or is it something you do with yourself?
No. You can, there are coaches who use these a fair amount with clients. Okay. They use the adult one typically. But it's been used in many ways. It's used with, you can just do it yourself. You know, you can buy a deck for $39 and go sit in the corner and take it an hour, a couple of hours, and sort it out and see what you learn. Or you can do it as a family. I mean, you could literally have the adult deck for the parents. And, you know, if you have a 13, 14, 18, 16 year old, let them do their deck, and you're going to learn a lot about each other, a lot. So there are different applications for these mm-hmm. tools.
So have you worked in schools or worked with organizations mm-hmm. that work with teens? Because I just think, like I said before, teens are our future. We've got to honor them as our future.
So I would like to work more in schools. I have worked a fair amount with like the Boys and Girls Clubs, mm-hmm. Junior Achievement, those are private organizations. The public schools are tough, to be honest with you. They are very regimented, and it's kind of tough to find the lane to figure out how to get in there. But I've worked with a couple of guidance counselors.
Oh, that's cool.
Use these with kids.
Yeah.
And educational consultants have used them.
We have 3 minutes left. What is your the legacy you want to leave for the world and for the rest of our audience? What are some last words that you'd like to share?
Well, I tell you what, if you give me 30 seconds, I'm going to reach around to a bookshelf and I'm going to pull out the identity code and read the very last paragraph, which will answer your question. Can I do that?
You have 2 minutes left, and that includes 430 seconds.
All right, give me a second.
Larry's off to get his book, and
I'm back. See, I told you that was going to be really quick.
That's really quick.
All right, let me see if I can find it. Okay.
This Larry's looking for this again. It's LarryAckerman.com. You can find his books on Amazon, the Identity Code. What's the other one? Identity Mapping, Larry?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So here are my parting words, assuming you want them to be the parting words.
Go ahead.
There is no person walking this planet who doesn't have the capacity to live through his or her identity. If we were to make identity the foundation of our lives, it would be a better, more productive world. But my vision is at best a hope. You are the one who matters. You are where the world begins. As you open yourself up to the possibilities your identity code reveals, remember that you are inviolable. You have value in this world simply as a result of being who you are. No one can take away your identity. No one can make you be someone you are not. That is your strength and it is eternal. Never lose sight of who you are.
Thank you. That's beautiful. It's been such a pleasure to have you, Larry. I just really honor your work in the world and what you bring. It's such a gift.
Thank you.
And this is Gail West, and this is the Cafe of Delights. We are on the second and fourth Thursday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific. And my guest next time will be Lynn Twist, author of The Soul of Money. So happy to have you, Larry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gail. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you for tuning in to Cafe of Delights, conversations that enlighten and inspire with me, your host, Gail West. Listen or watch live every second and fourth Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for a series of riveting interviews from those who are actively working at the edges of local, regional, and global transformation. From science to spirituality, culture, arts, and new economies, and more, we will explore how to create a world where all can thrive. For more information on hope for a new reality, visit me, Gail West, at successwithsoul.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.